You're listening to HG 101, a proud part of the Greenlit Podcast Network. Hey there, loyal listeners. As you know, the HG 101 podcast is made possible by our amazing Patreon supporters who help keep the show alive by donating as little as $2 a month. You can be like them. By chipping in, you'll not only help keep the lights on at HG 101 Towers, you'll also gain access to our secret patrons-only RSS feed. That's the feed that gets an extra bonus episode every week. Here's a taste of what you've been missing. Oh my god, yeah. Mega Man's voice finally dropped, I guess. I don't care what they're saying. I hate how he talks. I don't want to think about like Mega Man cruising for Robo Chicks or something. Some mega middle school or wherever. I don't want him to go through puberty, damn it. He's called Mega Man, but he'll always be a boy to me.
Everything else in my life is grown up.
You know what I mean? It's like he's a boy. He's Astro Boy. That's what he is. We all know it. The only people who can't say it are Capcom for legal reasons. So go to patreon.com/HG101 and donate a couple bucks. That's patreon.com/HG101. Act now and be a hero.
For some, this is painfully obvious, but hardcore gaming means it ain't for the novices. The main source to brain train your knowledge and lay maintain with a course aimed at colleges. To HG 101, we give the honor. Thanks to Kirk, a lot of Xerxes to host it proper, as well as Satanga, Cal and Bobinata, Ogre Hart and others discuss and discover all the 47,000 games. And when they rate them, you can bet it's scientifically locked in position. Speaking of which, no system is obscure. And look, they wrote a book about it. Go out and cop yours.
Hello and welcome to HardcoreGaming101.net's top 47,858 games of all time podcast, where we objectively, definitively, and scientifically rank the games that you nominate. My name is Xerxes, and I'm the show's main host and producer, and on this podcast we have three rules. Rule 1, all rankings are final, official, and scientifically accurate. Rule 2, you can nominate one game at a time via 5-star review on iTunes or Stitcher. Those are the ones we try to get to first. You can also go to bit.ly/rankthisplease and add a game to the slush pile and cross your fingers. We make no guarantees on those. Rule number 3, you can nominate games that have already been nominated, but just don't nominate games you've already ranked. See the master list for yourself. It's at bit.ly/47kgames. That's bit.ly/47kgames.
Janine, can you hear me? Janine?
If you're listening to this, then you are listening to Top 47K Games, and we are doing Resident Evil 6. Although I don't think it says that in this game. You know, the Resident Evil voice, it comes in like every time. If a Resident Evil game doesn't have the Resident Evil voice, throw it straight in the trash. Just don't even bother playing it. You know the
even
Resident
the
Evil
Game Boy voice. Color one had that, so come on.
Yeah.
This one does do the voice. I don't know if it calls out the six.
No, I think it just, yeah, it just goes Resident Evil, which is great. Does it say Biohazard in Japanese, by the way? Is it like Biohazard?
Anyway, get on with the info.
That's okay. So this has been nominated to us by Zephyro, and Zephyro has left, oh goodness, I can't read all of this, but if you want to read what Zephyro's reasoning behind, oh no, you can't actually read this. No one's going to be able to read this. It's really long, but I'll talk a little bit about why they nominated it later, if that's, I think that's fair enough. It was a slush pile nomination. I think we picked this one because it's a big game, and so it's, you know, it's an interesting one to talk about. It was developed...
And you're Cal, by the way.
I've got to tell him who made this game, dang it!
I don't know what the order is anymore, go on.
It's
this
okay, is already
we do this every show. Time, Stenga.
Oh, yeah, I'm Cal, and... There was Bob, and you've heard it
I'm working on the wind, and the quiet one is Satanga.
There is a lot to talk about in this game. Now, the release date is October 2nd, 2012, and that should be the Xbox 360 version? I can't remember if the PS3 version came out at the exact same time. I think maybe those two came out at the same time, and then the PC version came a little later, I think. That's a fairly typical release order. Resident Evil 6 is... kind of the humongous sequel to Resident Evil 4, 5. This is a culmination game. It's a everybody show up game, basically. It's Resident Evil. It's got Leon back again. So back from 4, now he's back in 6. It's got Chris to show up again from the first game and Code Veronica. And
And Sherry Birkin is also back.
She's made into like a major character from being a part of Resident Evil 2. She's now back again. They also bring back a couple of other characters. The character.
Anytime Leon exists, Ada must also exist.
Ada's going to show up and just be like, "Hey, Leon, bye, Leon."
Hey, Leon, we must project sexual tension at one another.
So
okay, bye.
So this one, so this is, everyone is here. Naturally, everyone that likes Jill is very mad because she's not in this one. And also everyone that likes Claire is really mad because Chris is in it and Claire is just like, eh. I'll catch you next game, everybody.
We have Sherry Birkin instead of Claire Redfield.
That's right. It's a real...
Claire did get Revelations 2, at least, so that's a fair...
Yeah, she's in Revelations 2, and Jill is in Revelations 1. So those games are kind of like this weird... That's everyone else games. The two Revelation games are where everyone else is hiding. I think chronology-wise, I think this is the most recent Resident Evil since... I don't know when 7 is set, and that's the only other one that's out. Resident Evil 8 on development.
I think all the numbered games are pretty much in a straight timeline.
That is supposed to be correct. Obviously, Resident Evil 7 features very little of the extended universe of Resident Evil, so that one's almost a clean break. It's not quite, but...
RE7 was necessary to bring things back to their survival horror roots, because 6... Holy shit, this game just puked up a rainbow of content all over the game sphere. It's...
Yes.
Where do we even begin with this monster?
I guess since you brought it up, we'll briefly mention that as we said, this game has many characters and they are all playable. So you've got Leon, who now gets a not Claire to show up named Helena, and they have a campaign. You have Chris, and he shows up with Pierce, who honestly probably has the most believable sexual tension in the game.
You're not wrong.
It's true.
Yeah.
I believe it's very deliberate. I like it. It's very good. Then you've got Jake, who... Jake, everybody, it's Jake!
Jake is new to this game, but he is very clearly and obviously connected to someone else who is, very appreciated by the user
from
base.
The franchise in the context of this game.
He's probably the most fun character to play.
Yep.
Oh,
he's up there. He's got the best.
I don't like him as a rule. I love it.
And you know what else?
Get into the
and
game?
Also, Sherry shows up and she's like, "Hey, Jake, how you going?" It's like, oh, you get Sherry as well. That's just the Sherry on top of the cake, Great.
You bastard. I'm going to kill you in Australia.
Basically, how this game works is that there are 3 campaigns, and each of them has kind of a different feel.
Also, technically,
Leon.
4.
Okay, who's the fourth one? Oh, yeah, Ada, right?
Oh, fine. Yeah, okay, well, the fourth one is that character. There you go.
Hey, spoilers are off the table.
Spoilers
the
are now
just related to
they're all over the floor now. Find him.
Yeah.
So, stop it.
Yeah, basically, Leon is supposed to be the most survival horror-y of the 4.
Yeah, he's the most classic.
Jake is closest to RE4 and 5, I'd say, and Chris is just like a straight-up third-person shooter, which is kind of weird.
Oscar Mike, bro, that's his campaign, basically.
I will basically say this game is not considered good. I'm gonna get that, I'm gonna get that out. We're retracting it almost 9 minutes, and we've managed not to say it. I'm very passionately positive about this game, but it's generally not considered good, and there are lots of genuinely reasonable reasons why. Firstly, it launched super rushed. I think it was given like a year of development time, which is absolutely insane considering the absolutely huge breadth of content in it. And later it's being patched, so obviously we're playing kind of the more patched, slightly fixed versions. That's no one's gonna play the kind of horrifying like original 360 release, which was broken on launch. It wasn't together. But what I really want to mention here is all of these game modes take place under the same engine, under the same exact mechanical design. The game tries to make a survival horror game, a shooter, and a sort of beat-em-up, action shooter, almost platformery type thing. And then it tries to get all of that in just one sort of single engine, which it cannot bear. It doesn't do enough between the different campaigns with the actual mechanics. So this game extends on Resident Evil 4, and by, you know, Resident Evil 5 as well, because that's basically Resident Evil 4, but reskinned. So this game changes the way the... Resident Evil 4 is famous for, you know, you could shoot enemies in the head and they would grab their head, and then you could melee them, and you could shoot them in the leg and they would trip over or fall on the ground, and then you could melee them or do a ground attack. Anyone that's listening to a Resident Evil 4 recording should know that. And this one blows that out, like, a lot. Now you can, enemies will still stumble when shot in the head and the leg, but you can kind of get in on their arms to sort of mess them up there. You can do attacks from the back if you get them to turn around. You no longer have a knife for every character. Instead, you have a full melee system, so all the characters have different melee hits that they can stun enemies without actually shooting at them.
To expand on that, Chris has a combat knife, which leads to, like, an entire, like, sequence of, like, all kinds of swings, thrusts, and all kinds of other stuff. If you've played Marth in Smash, it's basically the dancing blade.
Yes.
Leon's knife is the survival knife, which is, you know, pretty much the same thing as the RE4 knife, and thus is the worst thing in this, you know, very action-intensive game in the melee department. And then Jake just pulls out his fists and...
Jake is really funny, because there's no context for why he can do that at the start of the game. It's just like, everyone's got their guns out, everyone's shooting, and Jake's like, well, I'm gonna punch you. And
Jake's fist fighting style is pretty much the single most fun thing in the game, because it's, like, one of the most expanded upon and realized thing on a mechanical level in the game. There is so much depth and option to it.
I don't know if I'm giving this too much credit, but I will grant that playing as Jake does remind me just a teensy bit of the classic cult game God Hand, which I'm a big fan of.
It feels a tiny bit kinda intentional, just especially with the way Jake has some bits where he does, like in cutscenes and stuff, where he does like a pummel punch, where he's like hit very quickly. It feels a little bit like visually like God Hand when, you know, he's like punch, like super fast, which does happen quite a bit in God Hand. And you do have to wonder in places whether they were at least like, we should get some of God Hand into this game, because this is going to be the ultimate horror action experience game. The lofty ambitions for this game are insane. And obviously, Jake's fist fighting engine thing is running in the exact same sort of balance as Leon's survival horror stuff. And so both of them feel kind of weird in places, because you still have limited ammo, you still have limited health. The same, like, drop system that was in Resident Evil 4 and 5, where enemies just sometimes discard things, and sometimes you find things in the environment. All that's still there, but also Chris has to go through an apartment block gunning down spider monsters for, like, 30, 40 minutes.
That's on fire.
I feel like this game's ammo balance is way worse than RE4 and 5. Maybe that's just me.
I want to say that's probably one of the game's absolute biggest faults, is the way it spawns items is just nonsensical. It really doesn't make any sense. You'll find yourself running out of ammo kind of constantly, but then, like, it's not the survival horror segments. Like, it makes sense to run out of ammo in Leon's story because you constantly have tides of zombies that you have to actually run from. And it's got lots of set pieces and stuff, and that's kind of like, you are kind of supposed to be starved a little bit for ammunition. But then you go into Chris's story, where basically it feels like you're supposed to shoot pretty much everything with a lot of bullets, and he shows up with, like, a gun, a machine gun, he gets, like, a sniper rifle and a shotgun, Pierce has, like, a armor, like, a anti-tank, like, rifle thing as well, but you feel like you're running out of ammo all the time with them. And that's tricky.
And that's, you know, the saving grace there on Chris's front is the combat knife is pretty much the second best weapon as far as feel goes to Jake's fist fighting.
Yeah, and you do have the melee system, which you can use, and I actually really enjoy the melee system, including one of the biggest additions to this one is everyone now has a running attack. Ooh, I love the running attacks in this.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, you hold the sprint button, your character starts running. There's no sprint meter. You can just go. go quick.
There is a stamina system, but it is not for running.
I know, and that's such a smart choice in this case. So
my favorite technical move that every character is able to throw out is the ability to hurl themselves backwards and land on their back.
This raises
your accuracy to its highest point possible with any weapon. If you need to do a long shot, you just onto your back.
No other Resident Evil game does this, and it's kind of a shame it was wasted on this one. But no.
It's interesting because obviously, as you said, this is a Resident Evil game, and you literally John Woo it. Like, you genuinely run out.
When you have ammo, you can.
Leon can even double gun, which is insane because it's the non-action mode, but Leon is the only one that gets two pistols, and so he can do it. No one else can, and so you can chew through all of Leon's ammo in, like, 10 seconds, just like, shoot, as you, like, jump through the air, then, like, land on your side, and just, like, you know, take out a room, and then you got no bullets for, like, 20 minutes. So don't do that.
It feels like they wanted to show off this game's shiny new combat system, but Leon really gets kicked in the nuts on that front.
Leon's campaign is easily the weakest of the three, because sitting next to the other two that have, like, these really diverse, fun, and engaging methods of, you know, approaching a combat situation, Leon has the worst weapons and the worst knife and just doesn't really have anything that really tilts anything in he or Helena's favor. So it just kind of ends up not really working out too well.
On top of that, for as much crap as I give Jake, I think Helena might be the worst character in this game. I
think that's a little mean on Helena, but I really like the way her story, like, because Leon's story is, the impetus of it is he kills the president, the same president from 4 and 5. This happens in the opening cutscene. Like, the president is literally already dead, so don't get in my face about this, but...
Yeah, basically his former employer that, you know, it was his job to protect and protect the family thereof, and that's why he even went through the entire events of RE4 to save Ashley's ass.
Who doesn't appear in this game.
Moot right in front of him.
By the way, just so you know, Ashley just... not show up despite being the main, like, other character in 4. She does not show up in this one.
Real quick, though, before we get too far into the story, can I say one thing about the combat system?
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
So, yeah, this game's combat, when it works, it's pretty great. It's pretty involved. It's got a lot of moves. Here's the thing. The game is really bad at explaining anything about melee combat.
Oh, it won't tell you anything. Yeah. Nothing! You are just gonna have to figure it out. And you will probably... One thing I like this game is, basically, let me explain, like, so when an enemy gets knocked on the ground, right, when you put them on the ground, and the game will mention this in a tooltip, which is the only way you'll ever get any information is a loading screen tooltip, but when an enemy's on the ground, if you run up to them, you will have the ability to stomp on them. And if you're aiming generally where, if your character is near their head, they will stomp their enemy's head for an instant kill, which is great because you save a lot of ammo. And if you happen to be Leon or Chris, if you have the knife equipped, instead you'll stab them with the knife, which will probably instant kill them even if you don't stab their head. But if you're Jake, if you go to their legs... he can grab them by the legs, and then he does, like, a whole spinning throw where he whirls them around, like, twice, and then flings them away. It's nuts! And you have to just realize that this stuff is in there, or hopefully catch a tip that might mention it. And
it kind of sticks to me, like, the kind of issue that Assassin's Creed 2 had, where they were just kind of, like, going, oh, you play the last one. It's all the same, with more. And we'll explain some of the more, but, you know, you need to know how to play this in the first place.
And there's stuff like the, this is like the stamina bar we mentioned, which gets eaten when you use your melee attacks.
Can I just say I like the way that it's represented as 6 cubes?
I love everything about this game's UI, just because it's insane. All 4 characters, so all 4 campaign types, they have a different UI. Each one of them has a different, it's generally the same thing, you know, it's represented.
It's the same thing in the same location, but like one of them is on like, a phone.
Yes.
You know, there's like some kind of like military info display technology, so a phone.
it's really subtle in a way, but it really like emphasizes that they are different campaigns, that they are different distinctive like approaches to the same game basically. which is really cool. But the stamina system, basically, you drain out your stamina, and then if you go to cover, which this game obviously has a cover system, because why not? Just get it in there. Really make sure that people will never be able to grasp
this game. I think the cover system only applies, like, certain services, and the game doesn't really tell you which ones, if I remember right.
It's kind of like, if a surface looks like a cover, like, you know, if it looks like a chest-high wall, then you can probably use it as actual cover. If it looks like a corner, then you can probably use it as, like, a corner wall. It's pretty reasonable about that. If
this game isn't exactly Gears of an Evil, but,
No, but it does do something.
It's the closest entry that would be that, but it avoids that.
Yeah. But what I needed to mention was the stamina chugs fairly slowly. But if you hit yourself on cover, or if you just leap backwards onto the ground and just take a load off and relax for a few seconds without moving, the stamina bar actually goes up quicker. So the game is crazy in that basically you run around, you can shoot enemies, you get into the melee system, you fight a bunch of things, and then as your stamina gets low, you can jump away from the enemies that are in front of you, shoot at them, and your stamina bar will shoot back up while you're lying on the ground. Then you can just press the, like, backwards get up button, and you'll scramble back up to your feet, and you're ready to melee with full stamina as well. Like, it wants you to go from standing to lying on the ground to getting back up and using cover and all this stuff.
And it even works seamlessly because the drop to back is one of the best evasive moves that you have. If you're about to get grabbed, whoop!
Yep, you'll dodge, because most enemies attack high or low, and they'll usually go high. If you're standing up, they'll try and hit you high. And if you're on the ground, that's when they'll start trying to stomp you. Enemies that are on the ground will do like a ground pounce kind of thing, and they'll try and grab you. But generally, if you transition from up to down or down to up, the attacks that they were using may miss, which again...
It's a pretty reliable thing once you get used to it. Like, it's like just like hopping on your back and then, you know, breakdancing your way up to your feet ends up being, you know, oh, hey, we have a back step and it's potent.
All right, you are all really getting to some real specifics with this game. It's
like, I feel like the combat engine really needs to be emphasized on this because that's where a bulk of the game really is. That's the good part. And it's not to say that the narrative lacks some good parts, but that's easily one of the drier points of the game.
The main issue, I do believe, is that the campaigns don't take it, as I was trying to get across, the campaigns, basically none of them actually engage the entire combat system, because Leon's story is a survival horror, so it doesn't really know what it wants you to do with that, because it's like, well, if the player has this super great combat system, which gives them a huge amount of control and power, that's not going to work for this system at all, because this is a horror thing. Horror isn't scary if Leon is just able to rip his way through the entire game, so it just kind of makes it crappy, basically. Like, the start of his story, you basically have very little ammunition, you're constantly getting hassled by zombies, and his enemies are basically only zombies for the entire of his campaign, and they're kind of the least interesting enemies in this game, because...
Yeah, like, they're the classical slow, like, you know, tread slowly and forwardly, you know, but don't particularly, you know, die in a couple of hits kind of zombies.
Yeah.
Whereas the other two deal with, you know, Chris deals like with faster, more vicious kind of things, and then Jake tends to deal with like a lot of monstrosities.
And yeah, so it's interesting because obviously Leon's story, because you don't get much ammunition and the zombies eat more ammunition to put down, you kind of like, also you get punished quite heavily because you lose health. You know, like if you get hit, you can lose quite a bit of health in this game, especially when you start cranking up the difficulties. And that's awkward. Very, very awkward. Because this game again is stingy with the health. So you don't feel like you can play around with the system. It kind of drains you out. I do want to mention that you've mentioned the Duavo, the main enemy type that Leon never faces. They're a remarkably impressive enemy. They make up the bulk of both other campaigns, like, generic enemies. And what's so crazy about them is they get to mutate based on where you shoot them, especially in, like, later parts of the campaigns where it doesn't force them to mutate in one way as it introduces the mutations to you. But so if you shoot them in the arms, they'll, like, grow, like, grotesque giant arms that they can now, like, fling their arms across like the screen at you. If you shoot their legs, they either get like super strong legs that make them like run fast, or they
turn into... I think that's like the thing you want to avoid the most from what I'm remembering.
And they can turn into grasshopper men too, which are a pain in the ass. Like they
yeah,
turn into
these, like giant, don't go for the legs.
Yeah, that sucks. But they'll sprout wings and they'll come at you. They'll you can even if you do get their heads, if they don't go down and die, their heads might explode and they'll like go blind, but start swinging these like really aggressive arm movements. It's weird, and there's so much in the game, but again, it kind of, the story drip feeds it to you, and it never really gets like a way to get it all together interestingly. And at the same time, the storyline has a bunch of other crap. You get to drive one of those like ski-mobiles, like the little things that you drive in the snow. You drive a truck, a motorcycle, a helicopter. There's all this crap in there.
I think we also need to mention, since we're kind of drifting away from the combat and and going more towards like set pieces and whatnot, there are, in fact, several points in the game where the campaigns will intersect.
Yes.
And the game does do, you know, kind of a cool thing, although it's implemented on, like, a back-end level rather poorly, where if you are playing online, then, and you reach one of these, you know, campaign intersection points, and it's like, okay, this is where this is where Chris and Jake's campaigns overlap, and they have to contend with, you know, a major threat together, then if you're playing online, it will, you know, attempt to connect you with someone else who is playing the your counterpart campaign, and you will actually be able to like try and take it down together.
That's right. It overlaps multiple campaigns at once if it tries. And yes, it is a shame. It's not very seamless. It basically gets to that level. It starts loading the level and says, searching for a match. And I think it's like about a minute or so. It'll tick along and see if anyone else happens to come along at the same time. Mm-hmm. It doesn't do any sort of like within, you know, if you've just started it, it doesn't find someone else who's just started it and tries to merge them together or anything. It doesn't try anything really super tricky like that.
This game feels like the developers were at the phase where they just throw ideas at the dartboard and then just made the entire game from there without doing anything.
I do think that to an extent.
I think you're about to say what I was about to say. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, this is following on from two of the most well-received games like ever, and so I think they were just trying to one-up themselves again. They were just like stuck in this like, we have to make like the biggest game ever in this franchise,
because, and then like the development was also very blatantly rushed.
It was basically Sonic 06 in a way. It was like they
comes
did
out
not...
more stable than 06 at least.
Oh yeah, it's better. No
far doubt. More
but like... it feels like they were basically like, I don't know, like, maybe the release date was Capcom's, like, we're like, no, we're not blowing the game out. You get 1 year to make the biggest Resident Evil game ever. And they were like, I don't know, let's go, I guess. Because it does feel like, if you were to cut the game to a much leaner game, you would have a much better game functionally. Like, you would have a...
Mm-hmm.
You could trim this game down to a platinum title, you know, like a much slimmer game, maybe 5 to 10 hours long. Whereas this game, as it is like 25 hours long, just about to play through the game as such. Like, that's all four campaigns and probably some mercenaries, which, by the way, multiplayer and mercenaries is amazing in this, because it's the only time you really get to experience the full engine that they made to actually resolve combat it without, like, the pressures of running through the single player or co-op campaign. And it works incredibly well. And if you want...
And it has the usual mercenaries problem of, if you're playing with randoms online and you're not playing Wesker, then you're not optimal, so then you're not going to be able to play because they're going to leave.
I want to say, though, that with this game's campaign, it's almost RPG length. And I don't want Resident Evil to be an RPG.
It is. It's pretty chuffy, and I can appreciate that.
Also,
particularly, like I can definitely agree, like, with Jake's front-loaded presentation and like all the other business, is definitely
cheap. It's
really frustrating. It's just like, oh, we've just got, you know, this asshole who just kind of comes from nowhere and he's like, you know, got superpowers and whatever. On the whole of it, though, I think he probably has the best narrative of the three.
The funny thing about Jake to me is basically the intended campaign order is Leon, Chris, Jake, Otto. Mm-hmm. beta. You know, that's it's those four. That's the order. That's the order in the menu. That's the order you should probably play it in.
Like the introduction of the game just throws you into like a level zero prologue, and that's Leon.
I love it. It's a fake version of Leon's campaign. I love that. It's not. He's like, when you get to that bit in the actual game, it's nothing like that. It's really funny. I will say, though, we haven't mentioned the graphicals of this game, and so I just want to mention, because this bit reminded me, I played the intro to this game. I was freaking blown away. I played this on the 360, right? It's a gorgeous game. I want to, like...
This is a good-looking game.
Yeah. It still looks pretty good. It does it, like, yeah, playing it on the Switch, which I think has slightly weaker shadows. It's a bit more, like, compared to the PS4 port, and I think the PC version, maybe, if you crank it. But I'm still like, yeah, this game still, like, it holds its own. It's still a great looking game. Very tasteful choices in terms of, space and that sort of thing. Like, it works very well. But
none of them fix the issue in any of the cutscenes where someone will be delivered, you know, a particularly delicious plate of food and then no one will eat it. Which is particularly egregious in Chris's case, because she gets delivered like three meals that he never eats.
He loves that steak. Oh, I'm glad you mentioned Chris, because Chris's campaign is probably the most serious Resident Evil has ever gotten. Because
it's extremely serious and more than a little sad.
Yeah, it's like what toll does fighting bioweapons take on a man? And Chris is just freaking wrecked.
I was talking about Gears and Evil earlier, but Chris and Piers basically are Marcus and Dom. And
yeah,
there's a lot of Mad World shit that plays in this one,
and it works. Like, this is a goofy series.
It actually works,
but yeah, it does quite a good job of it. I think because it's kind of sincere. It does work, and it doesn't feel like really overly like cheesy or anything. The fact that Jake's story is, I basically describe Jake in this one as he stole Leon's personality from Resident Evil 4 is basically Jake in this game.
Yeah, he stole RE. He's just, you know, RE4 Leon cosplaying, and they had to get his stunt double to do the job for Leon's campaign.
Yeah, and Leon is super broody now, and it's kind of weird.
It is. So.
Like, it basically boils down to me is like the way it's like I every time I think about this game is, okay, we're on a tight time limit, and the decision they went with was just do everything we can. I feel if they had either given this like a half year more in the oven, it would have come out really great. Or if they kept their original timeline and cut the Leon campaign and the Ada campaign.
See, the thing about the Ada campaign is that it actually overlaps with everyone's, and there's some really nice stuff in there. Firstly,
it does overlap with everyone's, and there is a lot of good stuff, but it's primarily tied with Leon's because it's Ada.
The thing that I like about Ada's campaign, though, other than you get bits where you don't interact with other characters, but you snipe her into their game, which is very nice. That's a really cool little thing. She's the only one that technically has a single-player campaign.
You can still play a co-op, though, in which case you get, like this hunk.
You play a generic soldier who just basically doesn't exist.
Yeah, you play as, like, Bunk.
yeah, Hunk's...
me, Bunk! Hunk's-
Well, like discount Hunk, basically Dunk.
Everyone dunks on Bunk, but he's still doing his best. He just teleports around because Ada has like a grappling hook, so she's just like, "Here we go!" And he's just like, "Hey, I'm back again." It's stupid. They patched it in because people got really, really mad that her game was single player, and I get why they patched it in, because they were like, fine, if you assholes want it, you can have it, whatever.
Yeah, like, but Ada's campaign has, like, a very distinct issue of the game is not tailored for a single character, so she's at a distinct disadvantage from start to finish. And she has basically one weapon that's really freaking good, and when it's out of ammo, she's just kind of screwed.
It's also funny, because hers, like, when you get knocked down, because when you get knocked down, you need your buddy to pick you up, or you have to wait some time. I haven't even talked about the pill system. In hers, when she gets knocked down, she just kind of, like, the enemies just kind of saunter around, like, oh, where did the lady go? Because they really don't want to hit her, because then you just instantly lose and have to go back to a checkpoint. And that's a pain in the ass. And the game will do that a lot. The AI does its best.
That's why I feel like Ada's campaign should be excised, or at least, you know, like, maybe like being like kept as like a DLC campaign for later as a thing that they wanted to do. But it's like, Leon's campaign doesn't work, and Ada's campaign also doesn't work.
So, but
the Chris and Jake campaigns work fine.
Anything so about Ada's campaign that I wouldn't want to lose? I love the boat level with her when you go up against a specific character we're not going to mention. That is a really cool visual. The whole bit where the boat gets taken over, oh, it's really great. I was shocked that was buried in the fourth campaign. I thought it would just be like it's just a cheap little drop-in, because Ada's previous campaigns, like in 4, have just been dropping into the already made game. But in this one, Ada visits some unique places and gets some very unique set pieces as well. It's nuts! This game, we have to rank it. I don't know, look up...
Hold on.
You gotta rank it.
I don't think we slagged this game enough, is the thing. You guys, you need to...
Thanks,
really
asshole!
I respect this game a lot. It has flaws, and I will not argue that, but I think this game is better than a lot of people give it credit.
I don't think it's as bad as people say, I guess. I'll say at least that much.
My God, I got on the show...
Can I say one thing, though? I'm sure there's
something about... Let's just hang with his rant.
No, Bob, you better go.
This game has way too many QTEs. Just,
yes! Exactly!
Just don't stop.
God damn it!
Can I mention something? Good
news, the entire song is written about it.
So Tanger, I have a great thing. The Switch version, the newest version of the game, lets you turn on the automatically beat QTE system, I believe, on any difficulty. It's a new feature for the Switch version. The previous versions, only the absolute lowest difficulty, I think Amateur, did auto clear. I believe the Switch version claims that they have now let you turn on auto-solve QTEs in all difficulties, so... They have done something to address it in the latest port if you really don't want to do the QTEs. So
I imagine there's probably a PC version patch that would also negate them.
Well, I guess that's a fair mea culpa to address one of
the
biggest
issues. They're trying to fix it. I do like some of the QTEs. The only one I don't like is the one where you have to mash the buttons for ages. I don't have the hands for this. I'm like smacking my controller with my fist. Like, come on. I just, god damn it.
Punch the keys, for God's sakes.
Oh, it's hard work. I gotta hit that boulder. Gotta get in that boulder.
A point of order, though. Even if you don't have to do the QTEs... Couldn't you at least say that this game really does take the control out of your hands more often than not? That there's a large chunk of the campaign that's just watching the action instead of being in the action?
I don't know. I mean, as I said, the campaign is uneven, and all of them are uneven. The best stuff in this game is literally loading up the exclusive Mercenaries mode. It was started in the PC, but it is in the PS4 version and the Switch version for sure, and I guess the Xbox One version. It's No Mercy, which, yes, is a reference to Left 4 Dead, but they stripped out those bonus characters for all the other non-PC releases. But it basically just spawns like 100 enemies all at once constantly that are just swarming you perpetually in all of the mercenary stages. And that is full action all the time, and it's like really like intense stuff that really pushes your playing the mechanics as much as possible, which like everything else in this game is like, this is going well. Oh God, it screwed it up again. Time.
The perspective I've always had on this game is that as a horror game, it's atrocious. As an action game, it's pretty good.
Also, it basically wants you to play it, like, I have played this game a lot, but it really wants you to play it through, like, 4 or 5 times, because you have unlockable skills, and they let you tailor the game a bit, including more defense, or better accuracy, or, you know, some weird stuff, like, you can remove your crosshair, but you do more damage, and that sort of thing. It has this extra stuff.
They let you shadow hearts it? That's kind of great.
Yeah, but you gotta unlock it. You gotta play the game, get the skill points, spend them, so then you can play the game in different ways.
So I know, gotta rank you were it, saying we need to rank this, and I agree with that.
Let's. I'm looking at 212 at God Hand. Do we need to go lower?
Lower!
Okay.
I knew Satenka was like, 200. Goodness, this is going well already.
I'm looking at the 400s for this.
I've been looking in the 300s as like a default compromise, but goddamn, you know.
Someone has to talk this game down.
I'm kind of fitting over here with Bob in the around God Hand territory. Definitely lower than God Hand. Not like turbo low.
So let me mention a game here. I did a game dirty, and everyone is mad at me for this, so I will bring it up. At 343 at the moment, we have Nier. A game that, at the very least, I feel is similar in that it's kind of a mix of brilliance and trash. Yep. So I would be comfortable in that range.
Can we put it above Famicom Detective Club 2 at least?
Wow, I did not expect Bob to be.
That's 342.
Hold on. No, I'm going to say we should place it lower than Nier. Nier brought up the Drakengard series. RE6 ruined the franchise for several years, okay?
It did.
You can't argue with numbers.
Oh, I'm glad you mentioned that. Do you want to know how many copies this game has sold? It's such a good number. Would you like to know? It's like 7.1 million copies.
Okay, it's not good compared to Resident Evil 5.
7.1 million copies. It's the fourth or fifth best-selling Capcom game ever made. I'll mention that to you. It's amazing. This is one of Capcom's best-selling games by far. Also in that list of top 10 Capcom games is Resident Evil 2 twice, because Resident Evil 2 and Resident Evil 2, the remake, which is just called Resident Evil 2. So,
it's great. Both deserve it, yeah.
But yeah, no, seriously, this game sold incredibly well. I don't know why specifically, but yeah, people bought
just
the
name. Even just by name recognition.
All right, okay. I will go lower than Nier, you know, partially as a bone toss to Satanga. And partially because I think I found a good spot that I want to place it. And that would be 352 displacing Risk of Rain, which is a game that I don't think is particularly good and on like a base structural level. And underneath Saga Frontier, which I think is a great game that was shipped 70% finished.
I'm okay with that.
I think being near Saga Frontier is a good example. There's Nier there, there's Saga Frontier. These are games that basically, if they were given more time to be better, would have been at the top of our list, I think. Yeah, if they had been
I would say that Saga Frontier is a good comparing point to RE6, because both of these games just dump a lot of balls in your face without even trying to sort them out. So.
Oh, kinky.
Yeah, balls in your face. That's the show, everybody. That's the show. Straddle that ball centipede. We're putting it in. 352.
Can I just say, real quick, the best part of this game, just
please
before it blows off?
Mm-hmm. Please.
There's a part where you find a playground, and you can make your characters play in the playground, and they just have these...
Oh, shit, making Jake do that is hilarious.
You know, I thought what was funny about that was that they do not let Ada ride on the rocking horse, and I'm like, oh, I think I know why you don't want her on that rocking horse, because it's like, Chris gets on it, it's sort of this like back-to-back riding, and I'm like, oh, okay, you, all right, good on you for not pushing it that far.
Thank you. All right, so that would be 352 then, right?
That's right, above Risk of Rain and below Saga Frontier. Resident Evil 6, a game that, it's difficult to really, really guarantee you'll like it, but if you can push through all of the problems, I swear there is a great game in there. I have bought it like 4 times, and I don't even like it half the time. But when it's good, I desperately wish that they would make another one in this style, because it tries so hard.
And if you can't push past it, I don't blame you.
That's all for this episode. Special thanks goes out to our lovely co-hosts and compatriots, our theme song MC Norm, check him out at Normally Retro on Twitter, and our technical assistant, video editor, and scriptwriter Ed Burns. You can support this podcast by making a small monthly donation at patreon.com/HG101. I know I did. By subscribing to the HG101 YouTube channel, and by following at GCNRNX and at HG_101 on Twitter. You can also hang out with us at our Discord channel. It's at bit.ly/HG Discord. But most importantly, help us spread the love of games by getting on iTunes, subscribing to HG101, and giving us a 5-star review. Do it, because you like us, and you want us to succeed. Until next time, keep keeping it real.
What's the thing that we use? The list. Here we go. I know when this game was made. No, actually, I don't know.
You know everything about this game. That's why we
Know everything. That's what fascinates me about this game. Come on. Sorry, I didn't preload the list. There we go. All right, here we go, everybody. All right, Resident Evil 6.
30 seconds to cut out at the start. Hell yeah.
No, leave it in. This is professional. All right.